Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask your blessings today on our discernment, wisdom, and most of all, Lord, to prepare us for these days that are coming and to make way for, I would say, spiritual warfare to defend the righteous. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to continue with the faction election war one. That's W-O-N, number 20. And this particular revelation I'm going to share with you is about the deep state left attacks against churchianity. Okay. And this first one was given to Garrett Crawford on January the 30th. He said, although this dream was about a video game, I wanted to be clear, I do not play video games now, but I did when I was a kid. I'm 38 now, and I have no time for video games. True, it is true. It's such an utter waste of time when we could get into the real thing, right? He said, I woke up about 4 in the morning and could not get back to sleep. And about 8:30 a.m., I drifted off to sleep for about 45 minutes and had this dream. And it's a good one. I dreamed I was playing a military strategy PC game, where you start off building a base and then create infantry and vehicles. You defend your base and try to conquer the other players' base. And I started off in the southern part of the map, and my opponent was in the northern part of the map. I had built my base up, and it was very large. I could see my opponent in the north, and his base was much smaller. Well, I'll just give you a little hint here. The conservative base is very large, as we can see by the voting tab, right? And the leftist base is very small, but they're very vocal and slanderous and hateful and angry and murderous. Oh, I could go on, but I'm not. I wasn't too concerned about him being a threat. Well, I think he is reflecting in this the feelings of Christianity as a whole. Not true Christianity, okay, but the complacent Christianity who thinks everything's going to be rosy and nothing's going to happen until they're raptured out of here. I wasn't too concerned about him being a threat. I was using a vehicle like a little Jeep to scout out the map, and I found an empty outpost or small base in the right side of the map, in between me and my opponent's base. It had a guard shack, barracks, and other strategic buildings. You could send engineers in these buildings to commandeer them, and they can produce units for you. Well, okay. I know that the people of the South are evangelistic in nature, but they're not really evangelistic to make disciples of Christ, the original Christ, the real Christ. And that's the problem. He doesn't appreciate that. I also noticed a very powerful and strategic building in the south. It seemed like the most powerful building in the whole game. It was a large temple. Yep, you got it. You probably already know the answer here. Representing apostate Christianity. You know who had the temple in Jesus' day? Yes, that's right. And who's got it in our day? Yep, same people. I was curious what kind of powerful infantry units this would produce. So I clicked on the building and waited for the units to come forth. To my surprise, no powerful and deadly unit came out. It was defenseless. Well, that really does describe apostate Christianity, which knows nothing of the power of faith, gifts, or spiritual warfare. They are defenseless. And let me say that the enemy is not defenseless. The enemy has Satan. He hates the apostate church. He hates all of the church. He hates, and he does warfare against these people, and they don't know what's happening. They don't have discernment. They don't have gifts to point out to them, this is something you must defend against, and by your faith in believing the promises. So basically, they just don't enter into the battle. Okay. I only saw civilian-type men called un-people, quote-unquote, un-people. I kept hitting the button to produce units, and just these un-people kept coming out. Well, you know, the left and its mainstream media has been busy dehumanizing Trump voters, calling them terrorists who should be jailed, cut off from the internet, killed, etc. All kinds of nasty stuff coming out of the murderers on the left. They're like the Nazis that, and the way they treated the Jews and dehumanizing them, and many Christians. They killed twice as many Christians as Jews, but a lot of people don't know that. But how ludicrous that the terrorists calling the Christians and the right wing the terrorists. Well, we know that's stupid, but that's the stupid demons. That's what they do. And Garrett went on to say, they had no weapons or value in war. It is so true. It is so true. Then all of a sudden, a sneak attack from the enemy was launched on my little outpost on the right side of the map. There were long-range missile launchers, artillery attacking my outpost. I was caught totally off guard. As Christianity will be caught off guard. We've learned, and we're sharing it. Nobody's listening out there in that part of Christianity. They don't listen to such things. They don't have the gifts of the Spirit. They don't get warnings like this. And their leaders like to tell them things that they like to hear. So they're going to be totally caught off guard. And the missiles, I think, in preparation for a physical attack, the left has been priming its army with a lot of slander and hatred missiles. Psalm 11, 2 and 3 says, "For lo, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow, their missiles, upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness." Now, the darkness is going to come in just a minute. "At the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Look, the foundations have been destroyed by apostate Christianity. And what can they do? They haven't been taught that they have power with the Lord. "As the Father sent me, so send I you. These signs will accompany them that believe." So they're not really New Testament believers. They're believers in their religion. They believe in a Jesus that doesn't want to give them power, doesn't want to use them to conquer enemies. And they're just not in the battle. And Garrett said, "I thought I could defend against the attack, but the attack from the north kept coming from the air, and eventually the outpost was pretty much destroyed. That's when I decided to retreat to my larger base. Even then, I wasn't too concerned. I want to say the larger base is probably the right wing. There's a larger group of right-wing people out there who have more affinity for Christianity, and at least align themselves with Christianity. Many of them are Unitarians too, you know, and New Age people and things like that, you know. But they're survivalists and such as this. Survivalists in the way of gathering arms and stuff like that, you know. So that's, I believe, the larger base he's talking about. Even then, I wasn't too concerned. All of a sudden, the computer narrator of the game spoke, saying, "Secret weapon launched." And when I heard this, I thought, oh no, that's not good. Well, it doesn't sound good for people that don't have a defense. And it's a secret weapon because they don't know about it. They don't know about the weapons of Satan. They're dealing from the very top on down with a bunch of Satanists. And they do have power. The devil has power whenever someone doesn't walk under the blood. Walk by faith in the word, doesn't believe in the promises of God. Satan does have power. It's the mercy of God that these apostate institutions haven't been destroyed before now. So, when God pulls back his grace, it'll happen. Then all of a sudden, like a missile or something hit the ground and the whole game screen turned completely black. This looks like a blackout. Could this blackout come so that the anarchists can invade? Well, we've had dreams like that, of them invading cities in darkness to kill and to burn, and the military going after them with snipers, etc. A lot of times your dreams will agree in a certain way, you know. I could only see my own base and no longer had full view of the whole terrain like before. I was blind. Well, you know, the eyes of the church are the prophets. Prophetic word tells you what's coming. These people have turned people away from that, which will bring some of them to death. You know, the harlot is guilty of the blood of the saints. Many people die before their time because they're not entering into discipleship, which is true Christianity. They're not entering into it. There is much provision there. There's much defense there, etc., etc. And some of this blindness could be the internet and communications going down. And also the electric grid, you know. I had no idea what my enemy was doing in the north or where his next attack would come from. You know, we've been sharing years ahead of time these things were coming. I think we started sharing on this over 3 years ago that this particular attack was coming. And so people have been, you know, getting ready. Those who have a defense and believe in a defense are sharing with other people, and hopefully more will listen and understand and have a defense, which is Jesus Christ. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. You can see you can get above the earthly fray in heavenly places if you abide in Christ. It is the Word of God. It is the Jesus who gave us the New Testament. And it is the apostates who've taken it away from us. So, I had a very large base, but I didn't know where this was coming from. And again, I say that the large base is more right-wing than it is Christian. And I needed to be able to see where the threats were coming from in order to defend it in the right way. I also needed to see what my enemy was building. All this was taken away from me, and I was a sitting duck. No longer after the blackout occurred, another sneak attack occurred on my base in the south, and it came from the left flank. Did you get that? They're ambushers, and they all come from the left. My enemy moved all of his forces to the left of the map and hit my base. Yep. There, you can tell they're riling people up, the leftists up now. They're trying to stir up anger and hatred against Christianity and against the right wing. Without being able to move units and build up defenses in that location, the enemy broke through my base and eventually defeated me. I was stunned. I couldn't believe how fast it all could have happened. I can guarantee you a lot of people are going to be stunned. The game was over. Well, then something so random and out of the blue happened. I had a glimpse of my niece, Casey, showing me a picture of our family back in 2010. And Debbie Horton saw this, and she said, Casey, which is K-A-Y-C-E, and it means alert, watchful. That's what we need to be, alert and watchful. Now what are we going to be watching? The news? Look, even the right wing is not warning of this. They're not warning of this. Even the information let out by the Trump administration is not warning about this. Even though I have warned them, they are not warning about this. So I didn't know why she did that, but in my head I calculated the number of years from 2010 till now, and it came to 11. Still in the dream, for some reason, I instantly thought of the last 11 years of Judah and its capital, Jerusalem. That last 11 years was apostate Jerusalem. Okay. The last 11 years were ruled solely by King Zedekiah, who was an apostate leadership of God's people, as we mostly have today. These people do not respect the word faith. They don't know what it means to have faith, or the prophetic voice. So they're defenseless. Yep. And throughout history, you know, the same thing has happened. When the Turks came over the mountains and attacked Armenia, the prophet spoke to people to move to the west coast of the United States. Some listened and did, and the rest were slaughtered. Why? They did not listen to the prophetic voice. They didn't believe in it. Their leaders taught against it, as they do today. And now we're giving this warning, and they will do nothing with it because they disrespect it. In Zedekiah's day, they disrespected the prophetic voice. He did too. Zedekiah refused to acknowledge the growing threat from the kingdom in the north, Babylon. just like the non-spirit-filled church of today, and even some of the so-called spirit-filled church of today is doing this. And despite Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Ezekiel's warnings, he believed the false prophets that Babylon was no threat and would be defeated within 2 years. And by the time Zedekiah realized all of his false prophets were wrong, all false prophets are always wrong, always wrong. So, and as they are today. And it was too late, and Babylon was literally breaking through the walls of Jerusalem. The temple was burnt to the ground, along with the city itself. Okay. So the destruction of the apostate people of God and their religious system is what we're talking about here. God is just as angry with this apostasy today as he was then. He is preparing to send reformers, and the apostate leadership hates them, just as in Jesus' day. There's nothing new under the sun, the Bible says. The things that have been are the things that shall be, right? Mankind is still mankind, and God is still God. And they have fallen away from God because they've fallen away from the Word, taught against the Word, lied about the Word. Oh, my goodness. I'm really careful not to interpret what anything means, Garrett said. I did look up the word unperson, and it comes from the novel 1984. I was unfamiliar with the term. In the George Orwell's book 1984, an unperson is someone who has been vaporized. Vaporization is when a person is secretly murdered and erased from society, which is their plan. It has been their plan since Obama was invading the United States with Muslims to take over, to conquer, etc., etc. It's been their plan. The present, the universe, and existence, when a person is secretly murdered and erased from society and existence. I also found that an unperson is an individual who is completely removed from recognition or consideration, usually for political or ideological reasons. Wow, that fits real good, Garrett. An unperson is a dehumanized person. The left is quickly dehumanizing the right, even though they are by far the majority of the voters and should have a large voice. But these communists do not believe in democracy. They don't believe in a republic. Just like the Muslims, same spirit. I'm talking about the radical Muslims. They want to wipe you out. You either change or they will kill you. Same with communists. And the communist spirit has taken over the Democratic Party and the deep state. Garrett says, could the unpeople that were produced in the temple on the right be the Christians that will be attacked and destroyed by the beast? Why, certainly so. The small base on the right with the temple almost reminded me of a buffer. Once it was taken out, then the attack on the base in the south could commence. The large base or kingdom of the south was eventually overcome and destroyed by an attack that came from the left. Could our end time Babylon be the kingdom of the north? It certainly is. Yes, and we've been saying that for quite a while now. Yes, this is the deep state. It is the leftists, it is the communists, etc. And I have expected that the Democrat Communist Party of the deep state would attack the Bible Belt because it has so many of their mortal enemies in it. even though it should not be called the Bible Belt. It's not the Bible Belt, it's the religious belt. And that was in the South and on the right, which is Trump's base. And I use the word base to point out what Garrett's pointing out here. Leftist, communist, Satanists hate churchianity. They've got no respect for it. They also tried to take down the grid before, but the administration stopped it. That was public knowledge. The CCP, Chinese Communist Party, has sold the U.S. hardware for the grid, which would make it possible for them to take down the grid. So the deep state could attack Zedekiah's apostate kingdom. This is as we have been shown. Babylon deep state will conquer apostate Christianity before Cyrus Trump finishes conquering them at the Red Sea. That's why they're so desperate now to wipe him out. And I tried to assassinate him just a few days ago. So, and Garrett puts here, Russian hackers could have accessed secret U.S. blackout emergency plans. And he's got a link there, okay? And to me, the Trump administration believes that this hack was from the CCP and not Russia. I'm prone to think that myself. The left always screams Russia, Russia, because they threw the deep state out of their country and have proven themselves to be the enemy of the deep state. And, quote, Biden's order could let China control the U.S. electric grid. And I have a link here, too, and a link of that I put in, okay? And that's what the name of the link is, okay? Quoting from it, less than 1 week into his presidency, Joe Biden has already put U.S. security at greater risk to Chinese and other threats. Unquote. Another quote. In sum, Trump forbade the use of grid equipment that is made in China or Russia or other hostile nations. Unquote. Yes, that's true. I believe it's probably China. Everybody's spoken about this for years. You could do a bigger search. This was the first one I brought up. But you could do a bigger search and find out a lot. The Chinese are the people that I believe are preparing to bring down the grid, especially now that they are being totally crushed and being done away with. The CCP is short-lived, I just have to tell you. And Garrett gave some scriptures. And one thing I want to point out about the scriptures is we recognize that scriptures don't have to be literally true about a modern subject matter for God to speak through them to us. And just the words sometimes speak exactly to us of a situation. And here's one text he gave, Jeremiah 1, 13 and 14. The word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see a pot that is boiling, I answered. It is tilting towards us from the north. Babylon, right? The Lord said to me, from the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I am about to summon all the peoples of the north kingdoms, declares the Lord. Well, you know, it's not just the north here, it's the north. The north represents basically all the kingdoms that conquered and ruled over Israel. Those were northern kingdoms. Almost all of them except Egypt was northern kingdoms. So that's what the north has represented here, you know. He gave Jeremiah 4, 5 through 6. Announce in Judah and proclaim in Jerusalem and say, sound the trumpet throughout the land, cry aloud and say, gather together, let us flee to the fortified cities. Raise the signal to go to Zion. Flee for safety without delay, for I am bringing disaster from the north, even terrible destruction. And, of course, Zion, in that particular time, was a place of safety. It was a righteous kingdom. But all the northern kingdom had fallen into apostasy, and the king of Babylon took them. So, I'm gonna stretch this text out a little bit here. Jeremiah 4, 1 through 10. If thou wilt return, O Israel, says the Lord. Israel, of course, is the church in our day. They were the Old Testament church. And they are a type and a shadow for us, according to what Paul said. If thou wilt return, O Israel, says the Lord, if thou wilt return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not be removed. And thou shalt swear, as the Lord liveth, in truth. Because he really doesn't live very much among them. They don't permit it. As the Lord liveth, in truth, in justice, and in righteousness, and the nation shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. This, of course, if they will repent and return, right, to him. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Well, people try to incorporate a lot of people that are thorns and not righteous and not pure, and the church is polluted and weak because of this. Weak against the enemies. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, you men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my wrath go forth like fire and burn so that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. Declare ye in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry aloud and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the fortified cities. Set up a standard towards Zion. That's the true bride. It was a place of safety. Flee for safety. Stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. A lion is gone up from his thicket, and a destroyer of nations. He is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate and thy cities be laid waste without inhabitant. For this gird you with sackcloth, lament and wail, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. And this is going to be proven. God's displeasure with the apostate church system in the United States and in the world is going to be shown. Come out of her, my people. And it shall come to pass at that day, says the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Then said I, ah, Lord, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, you shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the life. Oh, yes, they're saying that, peace. Nothing will happen to us. We'll never see the beast. We're going to fly away. Jeremiah 6 and 1 says, flee for safety, people of Benjamin. Flee from Jerusalem. Sound the trumpet in Tekoa. Raise the signal over Beth Harakim, for disaster looms out of the north, even terrible destruction. Hmm. Okay, and also Jeremiah 6 and 22, Garrett put here. This is what the Lord says. Look, an army is coming from the land of the north. And he has Babylon here. A great nation is being stirred up from the ends of the earth. It is true. They are cornered, if you will. And they must do something now. And the Lord has caused this. The Lord is giving victories over them, right and left. And they must do something desperate. They have no regard for life. So this is not going to bother them any more than the plague that they are to release is going to bother them. So, and it could also have a part in all of this, you know. And Jeremiah 6 and 22, this is what the Lord says. Look, an army is coming from the land of the north, Babylon. A great nation is being stirred up from the ends of the earth. And who is stirring it up? We just read it. The Lord. In Jeremiah 6, I'm going to read a little bit more of this text, maybe 16 to 22. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Yes, they've got a lot of modern religion. This is the problem. They think that God changes with the days and changes with the men and so on and so forth. No, people that are not spirit-filled and are not sent forth are heading up churches. That could never happen in Jesus' day. Ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Get your Bible out. Find out what the old paths are. But they said, we will not walk therein. And they have definitely said that. I will set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. The trumpet, of course, is the warning of approaching danger. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it. Yes, they have. To what purpose cometh there to me frankincense from Sheba and sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices pleasing unto me. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall stumble against them, and the neighbor and his friend shall perish. Yep, it's been passed down from generation to generation, this foolishness. It was a good enough for my dad, it'll be good enough for me. Go look for yourself. I was raised in the Catholic Church, and they didn't teach the Bible. When my Baptist buddy told me, man, you ought to read the Bible, it's very exciting. I said, okay, I'll try it. I wasn't interested in religion, but I was curious, so I read it, and I got captured. 22. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be stirred up from the uttermost parts of the earth. Yes. And he has Daniel 11:15 here. Then the king of the north will come and build up siege ramps and will capture a fortified city. Forces of the south will be powerless to resist. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Even their best troops will not have the strength to stand. Yeah, that's exactly what this revelation is showing. Daniel 11:40. At the time of the end, the king of the south will engage him in battle. Now, we know this is not literally speaking about this, but it tells us pretty much what's going on here. And God can use verses like that. And the king of the north will storm out against him with chariots and cavalry and a great fleet of ships, and he will invade many countries and sweep through them like a flood. Yes. And Garrett's a pretty good artist, and he drew a picture of his the northern army. He's got two pictures here side by side. The one on the left is white, and the one on the right is black for darkness here. But the northern part of the one on the left here, he points out the attack on the outpost, you know, which was taken out. And then over on the right, in the darkness, you know, the blackout, he has the attack against the Southern Army and Eastern Army. Okay. And so it's pretty neat. So we had a confirmation of this. Missy Pollock. 2-1-21. I had a dream the other week, and I shared the most important part of it in the morning prayer meeting. Yes, you did. Let me first preface it with this. I had asked the Lord for us all, especially me, to have dreams that would give us His news and info of how to pray. I was tired of all the disinformation, even with the alternative news. Not long after I went to sleep, I had this dream. In the most important part of the dream, I knew I was going to get a phone call. And she has in parenthesis, the Lord giving me what I asked for, His info. I got the call and answered. I was being very quiet to not let them know that I was listening in. There were two other people, like a three-way call. And this evil man, with an evil, raspy voice, said, quote, "We are going to take down the grid now," unquote. We're going to take down the grid now. And as I told you, it was well known that the left did try to take down the grid. And the right had foreknowledge of what their plan was, and they stopped it. It was interesting. That was a couple of years ago. So, he said, "We're going to take down the grid now." I was trying to hang up, but had a hard time. I was afraid that they would hear me and know I was listening. I finally was able to hang up, and I told the people that were around me what the man said. Then a sister I know said that I needed to take her home right away. Yes. Yes. So, that morning I told what I heard this evil man say in my dream, and we prayed against the grid being taken down. Well, I have to tell you this. You know, the Lord has told us that we cannot stop this attack completely. For there are people who have taken His people into religious bondage of sorts. Or else they're hindering other people from going on in God or being in the will of God. And they will not grow up unless these people are removed. They will not be free to do the will of the Lord unless these people are removed. Now, we've seen that we can lessen this and even remove it in some areas. So I say, pray and call on the Lord for wisdom and direction for you and yours. We don't want to pray against the Lord. He has a plan. And it's for the good of God's people. So I thought about this text here in Joel, and I'll read this. It's Joel 2, 9-25. First of all, people sing this song about this invasion, as though it's the righteous burning the cities of Israel and attacking Jerusalem. How can they say it's the righteous? It's ludicrous. They don't understand that when God says an army is His, that means they're doing His will. And let me say, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, Rome, all the way down to our day, He sent all of these beast kingdoms against His people who were in apostasy. So He calls them His because They are doing His work in chastening and bringing to the cross His apostate people. They leap upon the city. They run upon a wall. They climb up into the houses, and they enter into the windows like a thief. And they are thieves. The earth quaketh before them. That might be a clue, too. We have some big earthquakes coming. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon are darkened. The stars withdraw their shining. Darkness. And the Lord uttereth His voice before His army. Notice it's His army. So people think, oh, this must be the Christians. You know, no. No. He utters His voice before His, or some people think it's locusts because they were like a locust for a multitude. But locusts don't burn cities. They'd rather eat them. They'd rather eat foliage and so on. So they don't burn it, you know. I mean, read the story. You'll see what I'm talking about. There's no way. And the Lord uttereth His voice before His army, for His camp is very great, for He is strong that executeth His word. What's He executing His word on? Well, at this particular point, He had executed His word on the northern 10 tribes. And it wasn't locusts doing it either. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide it? Yet even now, saith the Lord, turn ye unto me. Now He's talking to Zion, the people that they were not permitted to invade and conquer. Now He's talking to Zion, the bride, the faithful bride, which the Assyrian army, as you know, conquered the northern 10 tribes because of their apostasy and because they had, worshipped the golden calf that they did in Egypt. They put the Lord's name on it, though. You know, turn ye unto me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. So now He's talking to the bride here. Okay. And rend your heart, and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, and repenteth Him of the evil. And that's exactly what happened. You know, Sennacherib and his army, you know, came up to Jerusalem after conquering the northern 10 tribes, and they were conquered. 185,000 of them were smitten in one night, and they woke up dead in the morning. Okay. Who knoweth whether he will not turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meal offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? He's talking to the people. Make sure you've repented. Make sure you've drawn close to the Lord. Make sure you're calling upon the Lord. If it's necessary for the bride to do this, it's necessary for everybody else to do this. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the assembly. Amen. This is what must be done. Sanctify the assembly. We're talking about that a lot in our meetings, you know, sanctity. Sanctify ourselves. There is no curse on a person who is sanctified, right? They've already borne their cross. That's what sanctification is, right? Sanctify the assembly. Assemble the old men. Gather the children and those that suck the breasts. And let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Okay, so among the bride or is the bridegroom and the bride, and they are hidden. But at this particular time, they are revealed. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. Give not thy heritage to reproach. that the nations should rule over them. Well, isn't it what it's what they want? I mean, I personally believe Biden is just a shell. You know, there is nothing there, and he has no authority, and he's talking a lot and getting ignored a lot. But the deep state doesn't go by any kind of guidelines like that. They're angry. They have to recapture what was once theirs. Their Lord Satan is driving them to do this. And so they're going to kill a bunch of people. Wherefore should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Well, I got to tell you, they would say that in a lot of Christianity. Where is their God? How come he did not defend them? How come Israel, that's a type of God's people, was taken into captivity all those many times? It was always because of apostasy and ignoring the prophetic voice, ignoring repentance. And this is a call for repentance here. Then was the Lord jealous for his land and had pity on his people. Why? Because they cried out to the Lord. There was repentance going on. And among the bride there will be. And the Lord answered and said unto his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. Well, of course, they were hemmed in by the enemy, and they got to miss out on a bunch of stuff. But the Lord saved them with a mighty miracle. It was like a Red Sea. Yeah. I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. Oh, praise the Lord. But I will remove far off from you the northern army. I will drive them into a land barren and desolate. Its forepart into the eastern sea, its hinder part into the western sea. So they had their Red Sea experience, didn't they? See, this led to this last battle here to try to take Jerusalem. I mean, God had no problem with them taking the northern 10 tribes. He had no problem with that. He did not resist it. He actually brought them there to do that because they were reprobate. So here you have the Red Sea at the end of this. And we've always said that this Red Sea experience is coming. It is coming. It is the destruction of the deep state, leftist, communist, Democratic Party, etc., etc. And, of course, Republicans, too. And its stench shall come up, and its ill savor shall come up, because it hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord hath done great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. And the tree beareth its fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Now, this is after this great chastening had come upon the people of God that were not spirit-filled, by the way. You know where the spirit was. The spirit was in Jerusalem, in the temple in Jerusalem. They had the presence of God, and the northern 10 tribes were forbidden to go and worship this God. They made their own God and ordained their own pastors. That's right. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain in just measure. Here's an outpouring of the Spirit. Remember when God's people came out of Egypt at the Red Sea? And we're looking at another Red Sea here. In just measure, gives you the former rain in just measure, and he causes to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Wow. Okay. So this is a type of God's people, I would say, going under the curse. Part of that, of course, is to be conquered by evil people. We've been living under presidents who did not get voted in. They stole it. And they've turned the country far left. They've turned against the Christians. And only because of prayer and faith is God doing this right now. It's total mercy and grace that he has sent the Trump, the Cyrus, to conquer this enemy. And he will at the Red Sea. And we see it right here, too. Same thing. I'll restore to you the years that this great army which God sent among us had taken away from them. Have you lost a lot over the years? Yes. You know, the curse is a chastening agent, you know, to bring God's people to repentance. But, you know, when they come to repentance, like these people did in this context, God is great and merciful, and he delivers. So, saints, let me give you this advice. Do this that they're doing here. You know, cry out to the Lord, call out to him in repentance, fast, pray, etc. Do spiritual warfare against the enemy. Keep on fighting to turn this thing around, because it will be turned around even after this battle. It will be turned around. This resistance will be gone after this. As you can see, they were driven into the sea, like the Red Sea, right? All right. God bless you and keep you. Thank you so much, Father, for giving us this word today. We ask that it goes right to the heart. And we thank you so much for what you're doing for us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless all the people to do spiritual warfare every day. Bless them to deny themselves and cast aside distractions and do spiritual warfare now. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen. And God bless you.